Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to KEDM's Policy in a Pint. I'm KEDM News and Public Affairs Director Corey Crow. Glad to have you all here with us tonight at Doe's Eat Place. Before we begin, a thank you to Andy Eaton and the staff of Doe's Eat Place for hosting us this evening and helping us out with this event. Policy in a Pint is a program where we try to talk about topics that can make a change in our area. One of the topics that we see a lot, and we see a lot in business surveys of people coming into the area, is trash. A trashy city sort of leads to maybe quality of life issues. You see people coming in from all over the world to CenturyLink, and they get out of the airport and they see garbage maybe on the way into town, and that's not cool. So I want to introduce our panel for tonight. They're here to answer questions and talk about some issues and things that are happening in the area. First gentleman is Stuart Hodnett. Stuart is with Ouachita Green, and Ouachita Green is doing a lot of great things in the area. Stuart, tell me briefly about what Ouachita Green is and what you do.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Thanks for having me tonight. You know, Ouachita Green is a nonprofit, consists of three different organizations here in Ouachita Parish, which is Keep Monroe Beautiful, Keep Westmill Beautiful, and Keep Ouachita Parish Beautiful. We're about litter abatement, beautification, and recycling, and you know, throughout the Monroe area and Westmill area. So, all in all, litter abatement here in Ouachita Parish is an ongoing effort for us. And so was the interest in recycling and beautification. We got a lot of beautification projects throughout the 2016 year, but also coming up in 2017. So,
our next panelist this evening is Alan Brockman. Alan is kind of a concerned citizen and a sort of a community activist. You may recognize him from television because he worked hard on the flood with a lot of other people trying to keep some neighborhoods safe. We appreciate you being here. Alan brought to light some things that were happening in the area, and we talked about it a little bit. One of the quality of life issues is good, clean air. And Alan had some concerns about some things that were happening. Alan, would you like to talk just a moment about why you're here tonight?
Sure. Well, you invited me first, and I thank you for that. I appreciate it. I didn't know what I was walking into, But I think you reached out to me because I was making some posts via social media a few months ago with regards to certain smells that were emitting throughout town, which seemed to be very correlated to that of the landfill, especially whenever there was like a wind out of the east or the southeast. And so I was like, hey, anybody smell that out there? And I promote some stuff on the side, so I have kind of a large network of people on social media. And next thing you know, there's like, you know, hundreds of people chiming in and be like, yep, I smell it. So we started kind of logging when these events were happening and where the wind was out of, and had been tracking it, I guess, for the better part of the past 5 months. And as a result, we've kind of filed a formal complaint with White Oaks Landfill. We've been in contact and in communication with them with regards to it, but it's just, it's kind of one of those things that I'm building a house here, I'm raising a young family, and you walk outside on a crisp October Indian summer morning, and it just looks beautiful outside, and you take a deep breath, and you literally smell landfill, and you're right in town. And so that is something that I'm just like, this is embarrassing. You know, when my kids walk outside and they're like, what is that? I want to be able to have an answer to them. So I don't know how much value I can add to this panel. I mean, I'm not professional recycling. There are many people here who can speak to that, but I'm just a kind of a talking head. So let me know when I can talk.
Well, we appreciate you being here tonight, and he's doing a lot of good stuff, and at least stirring the pot a little bit, which is sometimes a good thing. Last on our panel, Josh Tollison. Josh is here at Goodwill Industries of North Louisiana, and believe it or not, a lot of stuff you get rid of ends up at places like Goodwill and Habitat for Humanity and other places. I talked to Josh the other day about what happens to the stuff that nobody wants at Goodwill, the stuff they can't get rid of, and he'll talk about that a bit. Tell everybody what Goodwill does, though, for the people that don't know.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Corey, and good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Like he mentioned, I am Josh Tollison. I'm the supported employment manager with Goodwood Industries. We service 26 parishes throughout North Louisiana. I'm sure y'all are familiar with the Goodwill stores in the area, and I know several of y'all donate your clothes and your appliances and so forth. And you know, our stores are a big part of our mission. But in addition to having the stores, we also have what's called workforce development, where we actually put people to work. And what we do is we help individuals with disabilities, individuals who are ex-offenders, people who have multiple barriers that need assistance getting into the workplace. Our mission at Goodwill is to improve lives through the power of work. So a large part of our mission and how we're able to provide these services to these individuals is through the revenues that are generated through our stores. For every dollar that is spent at Goodwill, 9 cents of it goes back into our programs that provide placement for jobs and also retention services for employment as well. So it all goes hand in hand, and I'm just very honored to be here and answer any questions.
So we'll get back to that in a minute, because that has a lot to do with keeping stuff out of our landfill, which gets to Alan's point. Let's start with that. Our landfill, we actually, a lot of people don't know, there are a couple of landfills in Monroe. There are other landfills around our area. One of the things that we're trying to do, I guess, as a group of people who are assembled in this room, is keep things out of the landfill. Anything you can keep out of a landfill is a good thing. That can be done lots of ways. But Alan, do you know? You know, when you drive into Monroe right now, I've nicknamed it. I call it Mount Monroe. You see a mountain of garbage on your way into town. I'll just throw this out there if anybody knows. How much taller can our mound of garbage get?
It can get a lot wider as well. So, I mean, it's not only how much taller can it get, but how much wider can it get to where you may be able to see it as you're coming right in from Russell Sage. You know, the permits are such that there's room for plenty of expansion. So there's plenty of room for more, folks. I mean, I've got kids. We got plenty of generations worth of trash we can pile out there. So, you know, it's right there. I mean, it's right before the Welcome to Monroe sign. So it's just like, you know, I mean, hey, you know, Monroe proud. I mean, it's smell it. Drive right by there, take a deep breath, take a big whiff, and when the wind's out of the east on a beautiful October morning, walk outside and take a deep breath, and that's what you get.
Let's talk let's start here. I called this thing Policy in a Pint: reuse, repurpose, recycle. Let's start with repurposing, and I want to talk. I see Mr. Larry Head over here, who was a long time at Habitat for Humanity. Mr. Larry, let's talk about a couple of things. You guys have a store that deals with construction and building. You've got a lot of things in that store. Talk to me a little bit about what you guys have been doing as far as repurposing old stuff from old job sites and keeping those kind of things out of a landfill.
Well, I think all the thrift stores have the idea that you create an environment where folks that need certain supplies can pick them up. And we keep, they were saying, you keep it out of the landfill. You keep it from being thrown away. Our focus is mostly on construction-type equipment, materials and things like that. Furniture is an awful popular thing also, as I'm sure it is at Goodwill and all the other thrift stores and everything. We don't do any clothes. We have a partnership with the First West Thrift Store and also Family Promise. They do clothes and stuff like that. So whenever somebody gets something that doesn't fit their clientele, we share it and move it back and forth. Here's a story that I don't know how true it is, but this is what one of the guys told me, this guy, when we were having our grand opening, guy pulled up and he had a trailer load of stuff. And he said, I heard about this on the radio and I was taking this to the landfill. So would you guys like to have it? And we looked at it, there was some pretty good stuff on that trailer. So we said, well, sure. So we unloaded it, and this was at the beginning of the day. At the end of the day, all of his stuff had been sold. We gave him a tax deduction slip. We got some revenue from that. A bunch of people got some good materials, excuse me, and things that weren't overly expensive. And we kept the whole trailer load out of the landfill, you know. So that's a win for everybody.
And you deal with, I have an old house here on the riverfront, just down the street. I came through your place and saw a lot of old construction stuff from old houses that were, you know, being knocked down. So you guys doing a lot of good stuff there. Where is your place located?
We're on Washington Street. I have a flyer up here on the table. The address escapes me. It's the old Honda store, though. For anybody that's old that knows where the old Honda store was, that's where it is on Washington Street.
All right. That's Mr. Larry Head, Habitat for Humanity. Let me start with that and move to Josh. Josh, let me just throw this one out there. What's the strangest thing you've ever seen come through a Goodwill store?
Ooh, that's a tough one. We've seen a lot of those old school cassettes, you know, like the 8-tracks. We see a lot of those. I saw a Vanilla Ice cassette the other day, which I'm like, why are you throwing that away? You got to keep that. But anyway, we see a lot of unique things, things that are like we get a lot of shoes from, you know, from back in the day, polyester. So just really things you would never think you'd see at a Goodwill store. So yeah, we definitely get unique items donated on a daily basis.
So you're able to repurpose a lot of those things though, and keep it out of the landfill. What type of things do you guys accept, and what do you not accept? What do you not want to see in the stores?
Okay, when it comes, a lot of what we get are it's clothing. Okay, it's like your T-shirts and so forth. And the majority of the clothing that we get, we are able to resell. But any kind of clothing that has mildew or that is wet, that kind of clothing we cannot accept. Not only can we not accept that, we're not really able to recycle that off to our salvage merchants, because those clothes will ultimately end up at a landfill. Because even with those, we're not able to really recycle them and have them used for industrial use, because a lot of the clothing we get, we'll actually scrape those and we'll be able to use them like for soundproof cars and that kind of thing. But if it's got wet or if it's got mildew, there's no real use for it.
So, Josh, the things that Goodwill uses, and we all come through Goodwill stores and kind of know what, every time I come through, I buy a book or a CD or a cool suit from the 70s, whatever. But the stuff that's past its prime and should be headed for a landfill somewhere, what happens to that? You guys intercept it and do some things with those.
Correct. Yeah. So when someone said they donate a shirt or they donate shoes, our goal ultimately is to liquidate that, to get it sold in the stores. And the majority of the products that are donated to Goodwill is ultimately resold in our stores. But for example, a T-shirt, if that T-shirt is not sold within a month, that T-shirt then is sent to what's called a Goodwill outlet store. It's kind of like a buy a pound, 99 cents, one of those type of products. And then usually those products are sold at that outlet store. But if that product is not sold to outlet store after a month, at that point we recycle those goods to what we have merchants that we have, salvage merchants. And those merchants will take those products and they will ship them overseas to third world countries where there's a demand for that product. Or they will actually recycle those products like we talked about earlier, and they'll actually break them down to scrapes and they'll sell them as a different type of product to different companies.
So like the old fabric gets ripped up into something and made into something else and stays out of the landfill.
Absolutely.
Very neat. That's interesting. Did not know that about what Goodwill does with the things that that sit for a while and maybe can't get moved. So it's good that it's a good corporate citizen there and keeping stuff out of our local landfills. We've got a couple of folks that are here representing the recycling community that we'll get to in just a moment. But one of the big things at our landfill, Stuart Hodnett is here, chemicals. You know, Alan was talking about smells. I'm at my house right now. I'm doing some remodeling. I had a 5-gallon bucket of paint that I need to put somewhere. Where does that stuff end up? Ultimately, does it just end up in the landfills?
Corey, hopefully it doesn't end up in the landfills. You know, Wachita Green hosts a household hazardous waste event starting April 1st this year. And we have been doing so every year annually in the spring. So any type of latex paints, oil-based paints, pesticides, herbicides should not end up in the landfill. You can bring it to us, which is we had that at ULM at Brown Stadium from 8 to 12, 8 to 1. 9 to 1, I'm sorry, 9 to 1 on that Saturday. So those, like pesticides and herbicides, we don't... First of all, if you put them in the landfill, they end up leaching into the groundwater. We do not want that here. We just bring them to us on our event day, and that should take care of that.
You're listening to KEDM Policy in a Pint. We'll take a break right here and be back with more. We're going to talk about what's happening in Northeast Louisiana for recycling. This is 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. You're listening to 90.3 KEDM Public Radio. This is KEDM Policy in a Pint. I'm Corey Crow. We're at Doe's Eat Place in Monroe, and we're talking about reducing waste in our landfill. And we have a room full of folks who are with us tonight. Our panelists tonight are Alan Brockman, Josh Tollison, and Stuart Hodnett. And folks in the audience are asking some good questions. Look, this segment I want to dedicate to recycling and keeping things out of our landfill. Stuart and I had a chance to talk the other day, and Stuart, I mentioned I've lived a lot of places other than Monroe, and we don't have the recycling going on this side of the river in a like a citywide type thing. We're going to talk about some services that are offered here, but are we behind the times a little bit?
I'd say a little bit. You know, after coming back from different area cities that I live from, it's a little slow, but we've got a lot of interest here in Monroe, which is a positive thing, and the interest continues to grow. So, you know, with Wachita Green and the events that we usually have each year with America Recycles Day, and the household hazardous waste events. We keep the interest growing here in Monroe.
You brought a prop for radio tonight for the folks who are with us. It's a big blue recycling trash can. Tell me about this trash can you brought tonight and what it is.
Well, I bring it every time I speak. We're into education. We educate the children here in Wachita Parish through library and also the schools here in Monroe and West Monroe. Every time I bring it out, I just want to just emphasize that recycling is it's not that hard. It can be second nature once you start recycling. And when I do bring it out, the kids get it. It's blue. It's different from what they're used to. It's not a black container or a green container. It's definitely blue, and recycling is blue. So it's just another prop that I use when I go out and educate those that were really interested in recycling here in Wachita Parish.
So this trash can says bottles and cans only on it. That's where correct. Where are you locating cans like this?
Well, when we do collect, we send them over to different areas in Monroe and here. Also West Monroe. So Mark Recycling is one of them, and we tell everybody they're taking cans, aluminum, also tin. So just want to show some interest and get some interest up on what to recycle and how to recycle.
You've got a handout we'll hand out to the folks here. We also have that on our website, kedm.org, that talks about local places that do recycling. But I want to talk to Amy Barefoot, who is here with us tonight. Amy is running a service here in the area that does some recycling as well, but I want to poke her brain for a minute. Miss Amy, those plastic water bottles that everybody has, and they're all not drinking the tap water now, they're drinking water out of a plastic bottle. How long do those things stick around for?
Oh, well, they say about 500 years.
500 years per plastic bottle.
If they're just thrown into the, yeah. And then they end up in the water and they end up all over the place, so.
And there's people drinking like 3 and 4 and 5 of those a day.
Correct. Or Gatorade bottles, you know, there's so much plastic, so much plastic.
So those plastic bottles can turn into other things?
All kinds of things. The new outdoor store, the outdoor furniture store over on Forsyth, they actually carry some outdoor furniture that's made from plastic, recycled plastic.
Stuart Hodnett, you were telling me the other day that this plastic never really breaks down. What does plastic do in the environment after it sits there?
You know, it showed you the other day where there's a life cycle of 3 different plastic bottles. One is discarded and it's thrown away, and there's one that's recycled. The one that's thrown away ends up, like you throw it away on the road, it ends up in our water system and the water supply, and it ends up in the ocean, which there's different plastic whirlpools within different oceans that are circulating. Well, plastic actually never breaks down. It only deteriorates into smaller particles, which in turn, a lot of the fish and plankton, they take that in, the bigger fish that eats that, to where it ends up back into our food chain.
Mr. Jimmy Ingram, I believe, has a question. Mr. Jimmy?
Yes, the question is to the gentleman that's over the landfill. What percentage is being thrown away that don't have to be?
I think Stuart may have a little bit of insight into that. Stuart, you guys at Washita Green do a hazardous waste collection, recycling days.
We do.
You set up at the Civic Center from time to time, and people bring you all kinds of stuff.
Yes,
we do. How much did you cart off this year at that event?
Yeah, the past event that we had, America Recycles Day, back in November, we collected over 54,000 pounds of recycled items. 28,000 pounds were electronics, like e-waste. So we're collecting that amount that is saving our landfills, that amount that would be going to our landfills if we did not have those two events. Now, the household hazardous waste event that we had in this past spring that's coming up April 1st, I think we're at close to 64,000 pounds of recycled and also hazardous waste material. So that is being saved from our landfills and also our waterways and into our streets and to our roadways.
All right, I have another question from Miss Kathy Patrick.
I've got two questions. One, for a place of business, if we wanted to get some of the recycle bins, how do we go about doing that and encouraging that?
Yes, good question. Our question was how about getting a recycle bin. We went online, recycle.com, and ordered these bins. There's different varieties, different sizes, all the way from commercial to industrial use. Anywhere from to public use to private use. So this one here is a mid plastic that we use, and it's not industrial, but it's very very durable. So recycle.com, you can go there and you can order them online. That's what we did.
I do want to point out, although Monroe and West Monroe, right now people are loading up their minivans full of stuff and hauling it to different places and to bunches of different places. There also is a service now available. Amy, what's the name of the service that's available?
It's called Bayou State Recycle Pickup.
So Bayou State Recycle Pickup, what do you guys pick up and how does that work?
We pick up paper, plastic, cardboard, and aluminum. We do need them to be separated because they go to different places. Every other week for residential, weekly for business pickups. And to answer your question, my findings from my personal recycling is we used to have 2 city garbage cans full of trash every week. We have less than half of one. So I would say about 75% of your household waste can be recycled, judging on my personal recycling.
All right, some more questions, and I'm going to go back here to Mr. Milton Moore.
I appreciate the efforts that Amy and her family are doing to make it easier for people that want to recycle, because it is arduous to take cardboard to Jesus the Good Shepherd's bin, or aluminum cans to the bin on 19th Street, and newspapers and magazines to the newspaper Newstar's trailer, and plastic to Target, which those are various places. It's a little too difficult, whereas my son in Baton Rouge can put his recyclables in one garbage container next to his true garbage container, and they pick it up once a week. Having said all that, and knowing that it's easier said than done, my assistant was able to locate a service that would dispose of our infinite supply of paper, briefs, pocket parts for law books, old folders, etc. And that was ARCO. It used to be known as the Association of Retarded Citizens. Yes. And they come up with a ginormous garbage can similar to the same size the city uses, and they will take our paper away, which is saves us the necessity of having to go and move it someplace. So there are outfits out there. You just kind of have to look for them.
All right. Thank you, Judge Moore. Hello, sir.
Yes, I'm Al Peterson. We have talked about some of the various things that are the mechanics of how to make all of this work. I'd like to suggest one other thing, and that is our back pockets. The value that brings to our back pockets as citizens, as individuals, as business owners. In order for West Monroe, Washita Parish to grow, to attract industry from outside, to attract residents and that sort of thing, we have to have a place that is welcoming, that is clean, fresh air, all of these things we've been talking about. So how does this affect our back pocket and the value of our homes, the value that it brings to the businesses, the growth that we have from inside as well as from outside? If we bring someone into Monroe, and this is an actual story, some people flew into Monroe, had a few hours to be here. They were looking at a large parcel of land in order to put their business. While the person was driving them around, they stopped at the intersection of Desert and 165, you know, on the off-ramp. And that person looked out the window, or one of the persons did, and saw cigarette butts laying everywhere and mentioned it. Why are there cigarette butts here? That person that was driving them around immediately called someone. The response that they got was, that is the state, not the city. We need to be more responsible for the streets we drive on, the area that's here. And in doing that, that makes our area more attractive. It makes it more appealing for other people to come here. So if we want growth, we talk about Monroe Proud, we talk about West Monroe Proud, we talk about Washita Proud. Let's make it truly proud.
I want to step over here and talk to this man because he's got a gun. Mr. Heckford is with us from the sheriff's office. All right, so I see somebody doing something stupid out there. What do I do? Is there some sort of enforcement that I need to call maybe to take action?
Yes, we actually have a litter hotline here locally that we established, and it's through Washita Green. We have it advertised as 460-0587. 460-0587. It actually stands for 4600 litter, LTR. So that, you know, 318 is the prefix. So you can always call us, and it rings my cell phone here or two other, the code enforcement office for the Monroe City or the code enforcement office for the city of West Monroe. and we have all the available things that we write people citations for those types of acts. If we can make up a case, we're going to write a citation. We do write a number of citations, just Washtenaw Parish, just our part. We, in 2016, we wrote over 325 citations last year for littering, illegal dumping, things of that nature. We, of course, we write all types of citations for property conditions that are occurring as well, but that's about 2,000 citations we write every year. Just that's outside of the cities, outside of cities of Monroe, West Monroe, Starlington, and Richwood.
Is, and I'm going to throw this one to Alan Brockman. Alan, you think our problem, just being a concerned citizen, do you think our problem is getting better or worse as you wake up every day and just look at the condition of Monroe and West Monroe? Do you think you see more trash or less trash?
I can't really speak to that, truly. I couldn't give you a fair answer to that. I think one thing that we've all been kind of talking about here that we haven't addressed is that in Baton Rouge, you know, why can one person have one container that it's so easily there for them? So what are the economics associated with that? Have y'all done any, or has anybody done analysis as to why the city doesn't provide those services? Is it such a money loser?
It is very expensive. As far as there is no MRF, there's no recycle MRF here in this area. You have to go all the way to Shreveport to do that. And as far as the collecting, the bins, the truck equipment, you know, labor, it is an extremely expensive and quite daunting thought, you know, procedure to look at, and I can understand. I did not understand before before we started doing that.
Are you guys the only people here in town really making a concerted effort doing that for a household, I presume, or for
residential
businesses?
And small business?
Let me throw a question to Stuart. We were talking the other morning. You came by and said hi, and I had a question as to why in Monroe I have a guy driving my garbage truck, and then I got two guys hanging on the back. Tell me the story you were telling me about one of the other cities you saw the other day.
Yeah, we had an opportunity to talk to the mayor at Ruston, and they just implemented their recycling program January 2nd, and they have an automated truck, one-man person truck that can pick up on not only recyclables but also trash with that one automated truck, and it's just really streamlined. We were very impressed. We're looking into that right now as we speak in their program. So just stay tuned to that, on our findings on that.
You're listening to 90.3 KEDM Policy in a Pint. We'll take a quick break and be back with more. This is 90.3 KEDM Policy and a Pint, and we're at Doe's Eat Place, and we're talking to a room full of concerned citizens and business folks about keeping waste out of our local landfill. You had a question. What's your name?
Jennifer Carstens.
And Jennifer, your question.
I've got a question for those who are wanting to start recycling. What are like the top five things that'll help reduce their household waste? Like cat litter, diapers, what are the big ones?
The big ones is the plastics. That takes up a lot of space in your trash can. That's the main big item that takes up 70% of the space in your trash. And the next would be aluminum and also tin cans. That's the third thing. Right now, I don't know anybody that takes glass, but that's the fourth thing. That's also space. I guess cardboard would be the next thing. You always take your cardboard and disassemble the boxes. And the other thing would be paper, newspaper, printing paper. A lot of people don't understand printing paper. We reuse printing paper back at home. If we discard this, we won't discard it. We'll just use the other side. So that's just reusing on our part. So that's pretty much how I would do it. That's how we started out.
Stuart, we do that in public radio every day. I read the news on one side of the paper, then I print it on the other side of the paper, and it's
very good, Corey.
It's because we're poor.
Yeah.
We need your support.
Very good.
I have another question.
Good evening. My name's Chuck Rand, and I have a question about the upcoming home hazardous event coming up April 1st.
Yes, sir.
I've participated in these events in the past, and one thing that surprised me, but very pleasantly surprised, was there was collecting old medicines.
Yes.
Will that be also going on this year? Because we really want to keep that stuff out of the water supply. And
oh,
people
yes.
don't know what to do with it. I mean,
yes.
what do you do with it? Well, this is a place to take
yes.
all these old medicines, expired things.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. We do, and we are collecting old medications. Last year, we filled up enough for a 5-gallon water container of old medications. So we got a picture of that. So,
that
oh, that came in from one person, I was told.
What?
I don't know who that was. Yes.
Ben in the office where you can turn all that stuff in, and I think Monroe PD has the same thing. And I don't necessarily have a question, Corey, but I have a couple of observations and a thank you to Ouachita Green and your efforts for educating school children at the importance of this. I don't think the landfill is the problem. We're the problem.
Yeah.
We're the ones not doing our part to keep it out of the landfill. The smell's atrocious, I know. My kids go to Ouachita High School. They smell that crap every day. It blows right in the front door, so I know how bad that is. But if we don't do this, and my family and I have just, you know, in the last 2 years really started breaking down what we're consuming and what we're, you know, how we categorize that and get rid of it. And recently we built a house in Calhoun, so I'm very close to a garbage drop-off facility that is owned and maintained by Jackson Parish. Now, if little Jackson Parish can do what they're doing with this, anybody can do it. It's a compound setup that has 10 dumpsters that take trash. That's your food wrappers, your, you know, banana peels, tomato peels, whatever. And then they have a plastics bin and a cardboard or paper bin, and they also have a steel or metal bin. And I'm going to tell you something, that has been tremendous for us. We're allowed to use that because we live in such close proximity to the site. But if we don't do this at a grassroots level and we don't teach our children not to throw their candy wrappers on the ground, I moved from a subdivision in Town and Country subdivision where in the last 5 years, I've lived there for 20 years, in the last 5 years, every day I picked up a 5-gallon bucket of garbage on my street from one corner to just past my house. That was not even the whole street. And it was kids throwing down styrofoam cups, you know, from the snow cone stand, candy wrappers. It didn't matter. If they didn't want it anymore, if it's no longer in their hand, it goes away. Well, if we don't teach them to stop that, we're going to end up neck deep in garbage and perish that way.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you for your efforts.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate that. We're out every day educating school children, folks at the library, anybody I can talk to. We're educating the downfall of trash and littering in the community, but also the effects of how recycling can turn littering around and also help keep our landfills not to be a mountain in Monroe.
Dr. Bill Rambin has a question.
Well, it's not so much a question as an answer. The Monroe Symphony League, which is located on 4th Street, right outside the door and down the street one block, is open every Wednesday from 9 to 1, and we receive more things than you would imagine. Certainly books, magazines, but also all forms of media. We have gotten things from Edison rolls to 8-track tapes, cassettes, CDs, VHS, DVDs, and all sorts of music print forms. And we take all those things in and we recycle them and sell them to people who are glad to get them. So anybody that has that kind of materials can drop them off right down the street every Wednesday from 9 to 1. And I did want to make one more comment, and it's pretty negative, but then I've been that way occasionally. The only thing that seems to get recycled, truly recycled in Monroe, is recycling. Every few years, we have a big push on, we're going to do home recycling. And a few years later, we're going to do home recycling. So I'd love to see that get really recycled.
All right, I got a question over here.
Hi, just to address with the city and the attitude towards recycling, and I think they need to hear our voices. I have been talking to our city councilman for several years about, for the water department. I pay electronically so that it is paperless is the concept that's behind paying electronically is reducing that paper trail. And every month I get an envelope with a 8.5 by 11 bill and a return envelope mailed to me with the postage paid on there to send all of that to me, and then I proceed to throw it in the trash. And I've contacted them about this for 3 years now to tell them that this is a waste of financial resources. And since then, we've had several increases in water rates and clean water bills and things of the nature for both of these. We continue to have water problems. I was told at first that we were under a contract. It could not be changed. It was going to be up for bid in 7 months. I reiterated to them again. And here we are, 3 years later, we're still getting paper bills and doing that. So one thing is to encourage everybody to go paperless. I know Al's with the our president of our, Al Peterson, who spoke earlier with the president of the Board of Realtors. And we are trying to do as much as we can as our clients will allow as paperless contracts and electronic signatures and things like that. But I encourage everybody to try to pay paperless, pay electronically, but also let the city hear your voices. Because something as simple as a water bill, and they're paying not only the waste, but the postage of that for year after year, times 12 months, times everybody who's doing it. You know, we've got to start taking even these small steps for awareness towards reducing waste.
All right, Chip Strode has a question.
I want to thank Judge Moore for mentioning ARCO's service of document destruction. We serve Ouachita Parish. We'll come to your business, we'll get your documents, we'll shred those documents, and they're recycled. We employ some of our participants as one of our enterprises. We have Sassy Cats, a thrift store like everybody else. First West is right there on Louisville. Across from Enochs, I know y'all know where Enochs is. I've seen some of y'all there. But it is a great service we provide that is for our community. I appreciate Judge Moore mentioning that, so thank you.
So there seem to be a lot of services. There seems to be a lot of places to send your stuff, to give it a second life or a third life and do some good things. You have a question?
Yes. Does the university ULM recycle?
Let me come over here to Jay Curtis, General Manager of KEDM.
The university had a brief agreement with a recycling company to take paper. And then suddenly it stopped, and I noticed our custodian at KEDM putting the paper in our wonderful blue recycling bins into the same garbage with the rest of the garbage. And so I did some investigation and found out that it had been a preliminary arrangement, but essentially they were, my guess is that it was something similar to a free trial. And then they said, okay, now, you know, to do this large scale, this was what would be the cost. And the university looked at that and said that wasn't something they were able to do at the time.
Every university student, employee, visitor can walk over and put their lunch remains, a plastic bottle or whatever, on the campus into a container. How hard can it be for the campus, with the money they must have coming through there, to have containers throughout the campus to enroll the sororities and fraternities to get this going?
We'll dig into that and find out. Richard?
Yeah. Richard Harrison, home, well, businesses with inkjet cartridges and batteries, the lithium batteries especially. You know, you have two batteries. What do you do with it? well, don't have a bunch of them. Where do we get rid of this stuff? We need a collection method at home so we can take this someplace.
Stuart, let's talk about batteries. Batteries have bad stuff in them. Cadmium, mercury, all sorts of heavy metals, lead, things you really don't want to be around too much. Do you guys offer a service where I can take my batteries?
Washington Green doesn't, but I have a list that I brought with us tonight that has three different locations where you can drop off your batteries. One of them being Louisiana Battery Company. The other one is Interstate Batteries. And the third one is Battery Plus here in Monroe off Louisville Avenue. So pick a copy up of our recycling guide. That will give you some idea who takes batteries and who takes other recycle items here in Monroe.
And for the folks listening on radio, that guide is available at kedm.org. And have another question.
Actually, not a question. This is Kelby Neal with Washtenaw Green. If you're a business and wanting to recycle batteries, there's a national program. It used to be called RBRC, but now it's called Call to Recycle. And they'll take rechargeable batteries. You sign up on the website, they'll send you a box. You fill up the box, you mail it back to them. So if it's businesses. But in terms of household-generated batteries, unfortunately, it's just once a year at the Household Hazardous Waste event that we do at ULM.
So just put them in a box and hang on to them till it's time.
But be careful how you put them in a box.
Exactly right. Who's done that? Who's put a 9-volt battery in their pocket with a quarter in there? It'll get really hot. More questions or comments?
Well, I was just going to comment on the batteries because they're different types. The alkaline batteries, though there is a developing market, and this is one of the things about recycling. If there's not recycling, if there's not a market for the product and the product's not in good condition, you're just blowing in the wind. So community, having community recycling where you shove everything in one box and then it's picked up, you'd be surprised how little of that ends up as a recycled product. But until we start having things like government start asking and more or less demanding post-consumer products as, to be part of their what they use, like the paper of Louisiana, if it was used at 3% post-consumer recycling, we'd create a better market for it. Way back when, last century, when there was a Sierra Club up here in North Louisiana chapter, we had a recycling. And at that time, I even talked with, at that time, Manville. And they had already done recycling and put in newspaper and common recycling. And they could put 3 to 5% of newspapers into their dang pulp stream and could not detect this. When I was in school, we had paper drives. And it's very important that it not be mixed. There have been cardboard containers around town that have been moved away, and it's because people don't just put cardboard. They put everything in there. They throw their trash. They took stuff. And the person who's picking it up, it's more trouble, more hassle. It ain't worth it. So they're starting to be eliminated. It's up to us to really keep track of recycling and to merely have a recycled container that you threw all your recycles in. Guess what? You're kidding yourself if that's the answer. It's not. It's a step, but it's not the answer.
All right, I need to get a plug in for the Ultimate Recycling for 90.3 KEDM. We take your old cars. You can recycle your car at KEDM. We provide a service that will come get it and take it away from you. You'll get a tax deduction if you itemize your taxes, and we turn those cars into quality programming that obviously you folks listen to or you wouldn't be here tonight. So something to think about if it's time for a new vehicle or you've got a clunker you need to get rid of. From time to time, we may take a boat and some other things too. So you can find out more at kedm.org or by calling 855-KEDM-CAR. You're listening to KEDM's Policy and a Pint. I want to thank our panel for being here. Stuart Hodnett, Josh Tollison, Alan Brockman. Stuart, any final comments for everyone who's with us tonight?
Well, Corey, we appreciate you letting Washtenaw Green come out and share some ideas and answer questions from you. We're drawing a lot of interest, as you can see here tonight, with the crowd that we have on recycling. We'll continue to increase our efforts towards recycling. And we welcome any comments and questions that you may have toward recycling and any ideas that you want to share with us. So thank you so much.
I want to thank Alan Brockman for being here. Alan had to run to another event quickly, and we thank him and all of his folks for being here. Josh Tollison from Goodwill Industries. Josh, final comments.
Yeah, I just want to mention something that Tom mentioned earlier, that it starts with us. I mean, I know that by educating our children and just, I think one thing that I think would really help is if our influential leaders in our community stepped out and said, hey, you know, take this more seriously. So I really agree with what Tom said earlier about it starts with us and our homes. And Corey, I do want to thank you for inviting me to come on behalf of Goodwill Industries. And I want to encourage you guys, whether it's with Goodwill or Sassy Cats or anyone, just be sure. And when you have a piece of clothing, don't throw it away. You know, it doesn't matter how old it is. It doesn't matter if you think it's ugly. Donate it, whether it's to Goodwill or just wherever. Don't throw it in the trash, because we all know where it goes. So, of course, I recommend everyone donate to Goodwill, because when you donate to Goodwill and that article of clothing or accessories sold, that is going toward our mission of helping people find jobs and then also providing many services in the area. So I want to thank Stuart, you know, for all you do as well, and Alan, and thank you so much.
You've been listening to KEDM's Policy and a Pint. To find out more about recycling, you can visit our website, kedm.org. Once again, a thank you to Doe's Eat Place for hosting our event tonight. And thank you all for being here this evening. We appreciate you being here.